coming up, top five you will believe. Plus, an extra-large premium chef's cutting board made of the finest American maple wood and crafted in the USA exclusively for The Edge. Kitchen Bath Showroom valued at $100. Experience The Edge at Builder Supply Outlet, just 5 miles east of Oak Brook Shopping Mall on Cermak at 25th in Broadview. Beautiful Broadview. Mm-hmm. All right. Now,
taking some heat, by the way, for beating up on Trump for the last half hour and not mentioning Hillary, which is what often happens in these situations.
Yeah, but what about Hillary? All right, we already know she's a mess. That's not my issue.
Well, I think you're responding to, we're both responding to a big day for Trump. He had two very important, one a policy discussion with the president of Mexico and then an important speech on immigration. So
right.
It was kind of his day.
Hillary is in a cryogenic chamber trying to be refreshed or whatever. I don't know.
Still hasn't appeared for a press conference, though.
She hasn't appeared like in days.
Well,
it's weird.
260 some days, I believe, is the latest count on that.
Yeah, for a press conference. But, I mean, listen, this is not, but what about Hillary? You know, okay. I get it. I'm like Trump. Believe me. I am one of the last people that would ever tell you how great it would be to have Hillary Clinton as president of the United States. I don't happen to believe that's true.
Mm-hmm. Anyone complaining about my traffic reports?
No. Why, nothing on that.
Viola, I was like, why aren't they talking about me? Why aren't they talking about
even
me?
Even if it's critical.
Why aren't they talking about me?
I'm just saying, you know, I want to know what the people are thinking.
No, nothing on that.
Okay,
just
cool.
That we devoted a half an hour to Trump and didn't mention Hillary.
Right. And I get that. I understand what they're saying. But the fact of the matter is that Trump scares me more. I mean, he really scares me. I don't know why, but I actually do know why. Because, well, I mean, I know she's going to be a mess. I don't even know what I wish for anymore. Mm-hmm. But I just know that Trump is like, I have the finest people. I will surround myself with the finest people. But he won't. He couldn't even get him to speak at the convention. We've seen some of the people he surrounded himself with.
Right. I think
he surrounded himself with a guy who had a contract with Vladimir Putin.
Right. And I think that they're just both equally criticizable is what people are trying to point out. And did you see Tim Kaine dancing today on CBS this morning about her lack of press availability and, you know, some of the issues that she isn't facing reporters about?
No.
He's dancing around and trying to field those questions.
It's the worst history. It's the worst. I'd say the worst presidential election in modern American history right here. You have two truly flawed candidates. One who might be completely unqualified. One whose qualifications have made her unqualified. So there's no other. I don't know what else to say about it.
Or time in office has proven that there's some suspicions about
she
will operate in the highest office in the land.
Yes. She's already proven herself to be sort of unworthy for the job. And this guy appears to be completely unworthy for the job. So now what do we do?
There's your choice.
There you go.
Unless you go third party.
All right.
But neither of them is polling well right now.
Let's come back to Chicago here for a second. There's a podcast that lives at WGN Plus called The Chicago Way with John Cass and our own Jeff Carlin. And today, Eddie Johnson, the Chicago police superintendent, was on that podcast and said this.
Well, there's legislation on the table right now that we're hoping to get passed through. So here's the thing, you know.
That's the thing that Kwame Raoul is saying.
But it's
not the same as it was.
No, it's not. It's not mandatory sentencing. It'd be more presumptive sentencing. So what we're trying to focus on now is to hold repeat gun offenders accountable. So instead of judges sentencing them on the low end of the sentencing bar, they'll start at mid-range to the high end. So anybody that gets caught or a second, third, fourth time with a gun could be sentenced anywhere from 3 years to 14 years.
Okay. Would that work? First of all, you know, on the first time, like, well, you can always forget that you had a gun, right? I mean, I think mm-hmm. that's the reason there. But is there enough space, money, and resource to house the hundreds, if not thousands of people? I mean, we've already had 2,800 people shot in Chicago. this year alone.
Right. And you think about how many people is that to put away for that many years, and what do you do? What's the capacity to deal with all that? Which
right.
people should go away? Which ones shouldn't? It's a real question. But then there's also been this push lately about nonviolent criminals should be given second and third chances.
Tom Dart is a sheriff of Cook County. He would be responsible for at least the beginning of the intake on that.
Right.
Because they would be ending up at his little hotel there at 26th and California. And Sheriff, I suppose the question on the table is, if they did change these rules and weren't just bonding out, the judges weren't just bonding out gun offenders as they have been doing fairly regularly here, would you have the room to house them?
Yeah, you know, Ro, we would. I mean, two things. One, there's the obvious, which is, if ever I think all of the, you know, brain surgeons in government can come together and say this is something we'd have to come up with the money for if we did need it, I think everyone would agree we'd have to come up with the money. But I don't think that would be the problem. We've been able to get people a little bit more in tune with the fact that, you know, a lot of the people that sit in jail for 2 days, 3 days, 5 days, and then have their cases dropped are eating up valuable jail space, so we need to be more circumspect. So we have a lot more of the low-level offenders, particularly the mentally ill, getting into better settings than they've been in the past. And what I'd said all along is, if we do that, you know, we will then have more space for the really bad folks. So I think space will not be a problem at the end of the day. The thing is, well, when we started studying this stuff, which unfortunately hadn't really been studied much at all before, mm-hmm. we found the thing that was really sort of bizarre was, you know, the gun offenders were bonding out. So they would have a bond set that would have a dollar amount to them. They were able to come up with the money. But, you know, the poor people are charged with these really, you know, insignificant cases. They're the ones sitting in there taking up the bed space. So to make a short answer or very long, as long as we have sanity throughout the system, we'll have plenty of space. But if we keep locking up, you know, people for inconsequential things, then we will run into a problem. But we shouldn't.
But is possession of an illegal weapon enough to lock someone up? Because I think that's what's being suggested. And I'm hearing two different schools of thought from different politicians and different, you know, there are these divided reasons for ideology about what we should do. Should you lock people up for a minimum mandatory sentence for having an illegal weapons possession, or should you give them a second chance? Because one of the brothers involved in the Nikea is the killing of Dwayne Wade's cousin, Nikea.
Yeah,
had a weapons violation. But I don't believe more than that. So I'm troubled
no,
by...
No, they both... Hadn't they both just gotten out of jail?
They were both on bond, but one of them was an illegal weapon violation.
Yeah, one of them
violation.
One of them had a really, really bad
really
record.
Bad.
The other one's record was, you know, minor in the
That's right.
world that we live in. Yeah, you know, I think ultimately the problem has been what we're seeing so much of, which is that just across the board, there's been this overall somewhat loss of faith in how the criminal justice system operates. And that then plays itself out in a lot of people's mind and a lot of communities that, all right, well, this will just be another one that will be misused and used for the wrong people. And then that there's, you know, the other folks that just think from a, you know, philosophical perspective, you know, all first timer. No. We have to make it clear to people, you know, first time possession of like drugs. Yeah, well, more than happy to talk to you about, you know, whether you should be involved in the criminal justice system. Possession with a gun, different story. But the thing that complicates it is one of the things that, you know, Eddie's talked about, we've all talked about, guns are everywhere. So this isn't something where it's going to change rather quickly, even with these penalties, if they change. It's going to be a long-term problem here because they truly are everywhere. Mm-hmm. Our guys are in the city now as well. We're picking up guns all the time. They are everywhere. But you can't – I think you just have to finally say to yourself, we are going to treat this as a third rail. You get caught with a gun, you can count on the fact you're going to go to prison for a period of time, and that this isn't going to be – you're going to pass on it. Because I talk to a lot of these guys in the jail when I'm wandering through there, mm-hmm. and they'll tell me that they know these penalties are jokes. And so it's just not that significant. And a couple of them even intimate to me, well, Sheriff, you got to think about this too. If you come down real hard, then we'll have no reason to surrender. We'll just go down shooting them. And I was like, well, I don't know about that. Oh, but
yeah, I know. I think that's always said. that's always the argument that they make. Hey, that's like a threat, right? It's like another threat. Like, hey, I'm going to kill everybody. Maybe not. Yeah. I don't think not everybody wants to go down in a blaze of glory, including that dude who was just talking to you because he's inside your own jail. But I guess that, you know, to me, it's interesting because, you know, the former police superintendent, Gary McCarthy, was from New York, and he always used to point to what he believed is one of the factors that New York has such a lower gun violence rate than does Chicago is because they do have a mandatory minimum of 3 years to get popped with a gun. And that lets everybody know that you're going away.
Yeah. And I do think that's definitely a serious factor here, because honest to God, bro, when I wander through the place there over there, I feel like I'm wandering through a law school. I mean, they know more about the law than I do, and they're telling me about this offense. Oh, that one's a mandatory minimum. Okay, that one can be an extended term. So do they take that into account when they deal with their conduct and what they're going to do? Of course they do. So I do think it's definitely something that will be part of the solution. And this new nuanced version of it, where it's sort of a presumption, I think that will help. I think that will help, you know.
Ask you something, because you're a former prosecutor. And I'm not sure I fully understand this. So what Eddie Johnson is saying in this interview that he just did for WGN Plus, the Chicago Way with John Cass and Jeff Carlin, that's up there. I think that's posted now up on the website. The Eddie Johnson's statement here is basically the judges are going to give them more time. Now, how does that happen? Does the prosecutor have to ask for that? Who says the judge is going to do that?
You're right. I mean, you're 100% right. If a judge decides that's not what they want to do, there's going to be no way to impose it. It's sort of, I think the compromise that they were able to try to begin to come up with, because, well, this shouldn't be this difficult. I mean, it should be, okay, we as a society, as a city, have decided that guns are destroying lives and they're everywhere, so we're coming down hard on them. But because of all of the misuse of the criminal justice system over the years, for lack of a better word, there's all this hesitancy that people think it's going to be misused. And it's like, come on, we're not talking about, you know, stealing a bike. We're talking about you got caught with a gun on you.
Right.
I mean, they've had to come up with these sort of hybrids to try to deal with that. And you're 100% right, Ro. Is it something because of that hybrid nature of it could be worked around? Absolutely, it could. So it'll be interesting how it works out. But at least I'm happy there's someone's doing something on the legislative line. And mind you, it's always tricky down there, and you'll have people from the other side of the argument will be worried about, you know, the innocent people are going to be swept in, and, you know, right, lawful gun owners and all that stuff. So that battle will have to be fought soon, too.
What about the new debate that's really an old debate about the National Guard taking action in the hard-hit areas, the high-crime areas? The governor was just asked about it. He said the emotional reaction to activating the Guardsmen would not make any sense. You've got protesters asking for us to declare a state of emergency, to get federal funding, and to fight the violence. Where do you fall on all this, or what do you make of all that?
You know, Anna, the thing that I've always found interesting about this is that You nailed it. I mean, it's like the knee jerk. Okay, things are really bad. Knee jerk. Call in the National Guard. Blah blah blah. There is inherent logistical issues that are rather large. Start with the fact that the folks involved in the National Guard, they've gone through virtually no training as law enforcement. Okay, their missions are always different. The way they're trained is different. So interacting with the community, knowing all those different rules and things, that's never been their training. And so you have that, you have, you know, just the method of communicating to the police department on the street, communicating with them into their structures. So logistically, loads of nightmares. The thing I've always found amazing about this is, so you get this knee-jerk response, and then no one ever sits down and says, okay, can we get around some of those things? Because theoretically and practically, we could. We could get around some of those where someone could say, okay, you know, we could use the National
Guard. We'll
get
them radios. We'll get them this.
However,
wait. You know,
we can use them in a limited way. You know what I mean? That we're not going to have them patrol in the streets. We're not going to have them this way, but we'll have them assist law enforcement in this capacity or this, and really sit down with people and say, okay, where could we use people who this is not their training? But no one ever does it. They throw that out there, get their press pop, and then they go away.
Well, okay. First of all, we debated this morning on, or this afternoon on Windy City Live, and I volunteered your sheriff's officers for this job. So I hope you,
oh, good.
I hope you appreciate, I hope you appreciate what I did there.
Yeah. They will be so excited when I see them.
Yes, and I also volunteered Leo Schritz's Illinois State Police for this as well.
Oh,
so
good.
This is really going to work out well for everybody.
Everybody
in the state loves me today after what I did. But here's the issue: the National Guard, as you're pointing out, is not trained. You have a separate issue here too. When the National Guard gets deployed to do work in hurricanes or floods or whatever it is, they're not armed. They're not armed. They're not carrying their rifles. They're not carrying their sidearms. Now, if you want to put them on the streets of Chicago at night to do security work, you're using guys in the United States military uniforms, even though they're deployed here by the state of Illinois. So they're Illinois militiamen. They are by law. If you put them with their arms on, what are their rules of engagement? Who do they get to shoot?
Right.
Do they get to shoot somebody who's out? Are you going to call for a curfew in these neighborhoods or in the entire city of Chicago? You have a midnight curfew? And then if you say, no, you're only going to have a midnight curfew in Englewood or Gresham or any of those places, then why aren't you having one on Rush Street? Can you imagine the hue and cry about that? And then the first National Guardsman or woman who shoots a guy, right, is like, oh, my God, look, the military is killing people on the streets of Chicago.
If people ever got beyond just the rhetoric and sat down and say, is there a place where they could be helpful, you might be able to come up with certain roles that don't require them to be armed necessarily, but would relieve, like, say, CPD or us or something, of some role that we otherwise have to do.
Yeah.
So that it's something where they are, you know, where our manpower is being increased, not by putting them on the street with guns and tanks and stuff like that, but by allowing them to do stuff that we would otherwise would be
I have a few places where they could do that. I mean, the state of New York uses their National Guard for airports. They use full arms, right?
Yeah.
But the rules of engagement there are different because everybody understands what those rules of engagement are, and it's like that. That sort of that, you know, and there's a limited number of Chicago police at the airports. But if you pull them off, by the way, I'm going to have trouble getting on my next flight for suggesting this. I should just leave town. Yeah. But
I think you are definitely destined for the cavity search line.
Pull that guy out of line over there.
Oh, I know that guy. I heard him.
Yeah, him.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, I'm going to stop making suggestions. But the point is that this idea that it's so simple to just go and get the National Guard and it's all going to be okay is just it's fallacy. It just doesn't work. And I know it's emotional. And we got into a very spirited debate about it today, but it just doesn't work. All right, Tom.
I'm with you.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Appreciate
your time, Sheriff.
Okay. No, thank you guys so much. You guys take care.
Thank you, too.
There he is. Bye.
Tom Dart, Sheriff of the Cook County.
Such a reasonable man, isn't he?
Yes. And a rock star, too.
Really is.
He's a rock star politician. There's very few rock star politicians. He's one of them. He and Trump. All right. Let us take a short moment to listen to Violetta tell us about the traffic because it's raining downtown. That's screwing up everything.
Sure is.